Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. If you like film documentaries where you find out about something you didn't know anything about, or you discover a new artist, a new musician, this is the story for you. This is a wonderful film. It's called Getting It Back, the story of Samande. It lovingly recounts the journey of Samande, a group of black British musicians who all came to the UK from the Caribbean as children. They released three brilliant albums in quick succession in the 1970s and were embraced in the USA, but not in the United Kingdom, where they faced a music business beset by prejudice against homegrown black talent and were largely ignored. It's a wonderful documentary film, and it will uplift you by the time you get to the end. So we're joined today by the director of Getting It Back, the story of Samande, and that would be Tim McKenzie Smith. Tim, welcome to Film School Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. As I mentioned to you before we got started, I do not recall hearing their name. And this was a whole new experience for me to get to know them as people, but also their music and the influence it had on others. Tell me a little bit about what inspired you to move forward with this particular project.
Well, I've always been a fan, not always, but since the 90s, I found them on a mixtape and I didn't know who they were because there was no track listing on it. It was some brilliant American funk and soul. And there were two other tracks on there that I had no idea who they were by or what they were. And it turned out a few years later when I was living with a record collector who had these records that this was a band called Samande. They were British. They were from South London, about a mile away from where we were living at the time. And so this always raised questions with me as to, well, what happened to them? Why don't I know about them? Why doesn't everybody know about them? Because this music is amazing. And it became a bit of a crusade for me and my friends to kind of just shout from the rooftops to everyone we knew about this music and about this band because we loved it so much. They became our band, you know. And then I ended up making a lot of documentaries in the sport arena for British television. For about a five-year period, that's kind of all I did was sport documentaries. And I was getting a little tired of sport documentaries just because I'd done so many of them. And I do love sport, don't get me wrong, but too much of anything, you get bored. And music's always been a huge passion of mine. And this band's always been a huge passion of mine. And so it just stood to reason that maybe it might be a good time to try something else. And why not try this? And I'd just done a documentary on Anthony Joshua, this British boxer for BBC One. And they have a blanket licensing agreement, so you can use commercial music. So it's great fun when you're doing those kind of films. And we used a Samande track called Dove as the opening track on it. So I went out on British TV and then the band started following me on Twitter. And this was all around the time I was kind of considering my options and all of that. And I was with my producer partner, Matt, who's also a huge fan of theirs. And I said, yeah, I really want to do something else. And he said, well, what about Samande? And I was like, yeah, they started following me on Twitter. And he was like, what? So he says, well, go and meet them. So I did. And it started from there, really.
That's fantastic. I know the feeling of finding a band, getting into their music, and you become a proselytizer,
yeah, exactly.
And then the joy of seeing the reaction from people to the music that you feel so passionate about. And I can't imagine, as we see in the film, the reintroduction, if you will, of them to a new audience, and to see that must have been very, very heartening and very satisfying for you.
It was wonderful. I went to their first gig back in London as a fan before even we were considering doing the documentary with Matt and some other mates of mine. And it was just a beautiful experience. And even then, I was one of the oldest people there, because what was apparent was because of the nature of the way their music took on this life of its own, excuse me, the way the music took on a life of its own through different genres and different generations picking it up and doing their own thing with it. They didn't have an old fan base, because in the UK they didn't have a fan base at the time. They didn't have fans in the UK in the 70s. I was expecting it to be kind of people that just look like roadies, you know, like straggly long grey hair and kind of a t-shirt from the 72 tour, you know. But it was a lot of kids, and the band themselves were blown away by that, because they couldn't believe that them, as they're approaching 70 years old, they're going on stage and they're presented with a sea of young faces, you know. So it was a beautiful thing. And then to kind of be with them at some of their subsequent tours and gigs, and seeing the love for the band from people in different countries, all again, lots of different ages, lots of young kids. And it was just a beautiful thing to be a part of.
But let's talk about Samande in terms of who they are, like what kind of music did they play? And from there, really the influence they had on hip hop and rap and moving forward. But how would you characterize their sound?
Well, I characterize their sound as a genre unto itself. They are the genre of Samande, and that genre encompasses all sorts of other genres. But essentially, there's Rasta rhythms in there. There's funk in there. There's soul in there. There's a bit of rock in there. There's definitely jazz in there. And it all comes together to form this entity and this sound that only they could provide. They all had different influences. There's, you know, Calypso influences. The name Samande comes from a Calypso song, Dove and Pigeon. It's from a lyric in a famous Calypso song. They brought all of their influences and created this music that was really unique, and you couldn't categorize it. You couldn't really put it in a box. I mean, some of it is proper funk. You know, there's two or three tracks that you would go, oh, that is proper funk. But then there are some mystical Rasta chants in there. There's one tune called Dove, which sounds like it could have been done by The Doors or Santana or someone like that, you know, because Patrick Patterson, the guitarist, was, you know, he was hugely into that sort of music, you know. So it's got a little bit of everything. And I think that's why record labels and people found it hard to, because they wanted to pigeonhole them as into one sound, an easily sellable sound. But the band believed in what they were doing and believed in the music they were playing and stuck to their guns. And then I think what hindered them in many ways when they were first out and doing their thing actually contributed to the fact that so many different people who were fans of different types of music, who were reworking music, doing things with it, sampling it, whatever, they all found something that they could use and they could work with, you know?
Part of their story is during that period of time in the 1970s and 80s, where there was this reactionary element in British society, which was a racist white supremacist movement, which really, as much as it had an impact on their career, had an impact on them as people. And one of the things about this film that is so wonderful is this context that you provide within the film for not only this period of time in British history, political history, social history, but also getting to know each and every one of them and the resilience that they all manifest in that journey. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
The world sort of knows in a lot more detail what was going on in the States at that time compared to what was going on in the UK. You know, everyone sort of knows the stories of Malcolm X and, you know, Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement and all the problems that black people faced in that period in the States. But it's lesser known, I think, about what was going on in the UK at the time. But it was equally difficult and painful for many people to deal with. It's important to remember that people from the Caribbean and many other people from what was known then as the Commonwealth were invited over to the UK after the Second World War to help the rebuild. Because obviously the Second World War, the UK was a wreck after the Second World War. You know, physically, financially, economically, it was on its knees. And they invited people over to come and help and come and be part of a new era. But then, of course, when they arrived, they were treated with suspicion and prejudice and ignorance. And so from day one, what was sold to them was not the truth. Steve Scipio said as a kid he thought the streets were going to be paved with gold and it's the mother country and they're going to be welcomed with open arms. And they just weren't. It wasn't the case. It was dark, grey, miserable, and they were hated. And so that's a really important part of how the battles they had to fight every day of their lives. And that extended to the music industry as well. You know, there was a lot of prejudice and racism in the music industry and in the TV and radio industry. So they got no airplay. You know, they toured the States with Al Green, you know, when he was in his pomp, and they were playing in stadiums of 40, 50,000 people. They were the first British band to play the Apollo in Harlem. But every time they came home, they couldn't get a gig in a pub. You know, any other artist, a white artist, I guarantee you, if they went to the States in 1973, toured with Al Green, got a top 20 hit, and then came back, the first thing that happened would they be on BBC One, you know, on the old grey whistle test. They would be on TV, they would be on radio, because, you know, always when someone hit big in the States, the first thing that happens in the UK is like, ah, fresh from a successful tour in the US, you know, and that just didn't happen with them. They were marginalized again and again and again until they just felt that they couldn't carry on anymore, you know. And of course, they then went off and did all sorts of different things. The six core characters, the six core members, all went on to do really interesting things. But one thing that's kind of key is Stephen Patrick, who were the founder members and the writers of the music in the main. They became lawyers because they wanted to help the black community in a different way. You know, music had stopped, but they still felt they had something to contribute because there was things called the Suss Laws, which was stop and search, that was open stop and search that gave the police rights to stop and search people, which was essentially directed at young black men. And they wanted to help fight against that, you know. So they were, as Patrick says in the film, they were still trying to represent and help their community, but doing it in a different way.
I just want to remind our listeners we're speaking with Tim McKenzie-Smith, and he is the director of the documentary film Getting It Back, the story of Samande. And it is being released through Abramarama. Streaming, are we streaming yet?
We're doing a theatrical run now. And then we're looking at the streaming and TV release a little bit later in the year, very excitingly, to coincide with some new music that the band are releasing.
I want to name them. Steve Scipio, bass player, Sam Kelly on drums, Pablo Gonzalez on percussions, Derek Gibbs on sax, and Mike Bammy Rose on sax and flute, Patrick Patterson on guitar. First of all, they're all friends. They all support one another. You see it. And you can see that. You can see the love between them, the support that they provided each other through the thin times, and the humanizing, getting to know these men is just wonderful. And if people wanted to listen to their music right now, listen to our conversation, they decide, I want to hear what this is about, what would be the best place to send them?
Do you mean which track?
Yeah, no, I was going to mention Bra. Is that what we would call kind of the most noteworthy
track? Yeah, I mean, that was my way in, but that's not the only one. There's four or five that I think are absolute load stars for this band. And so Bra is definitely one. Another one is called Dove, which is a 10-minute instrumental odyssey of amazing awesomeness that everyone needs to listen to. It's a late night, smoky, 3 in the morning, chilling out, close your eyes, put your headphones on kind of thing. And it's a stunning, stunning piece of work. Cinematic, moody, evocative, brilliance. And Brothers on the Slide is another one. That's a classic funk tune that loads of people will have heard. Really heavily sampled, probably the most sampled tune. And another one called The Message, which is another fantastic, fantastic track. But I mean, basically, there's three albums from the 70s. If you just go and put the first album on, I guarantee you, you won't be able to turn it off. Fast starts off good and then just gets better and better and better. And yeah, Samando self-titled album. Go and check it out now and then listen to the others after that, which are also brilliant.
Which of the albums has that fold out album cover? Which one is that? Is that the first album? The one that...
Yeah. That's the first one. Well, they've all got the second one's fold out as well, actually. But the famous one with the dove sitting on the guy's head, with the artwork. And that artwork was done by Steve Scipio as well. Very, very talented man.
There's just so much about them and the band and their history, and not the least of which is the influence that it had on hip hop, and to see the influences, to see the people from De La Soul, from...
De La Soul sampled them, the Fugees sampled them. In France, MC Solar, who's the biggest hip hop artist in French history, his biggest tune sampled them. I mean, they've been sampled all over the world by so many different people. You know, it's great. It's great. All these people have found something in their music that they can do something with.
Yeah, it just was a joy to watch this film, to watch how you see them, getting to know them, getting to see the influence they had, and then this second act or even third act in their career to be able to come back and really enjoy it. It's a little bit bittersweet to hear about one of their key members and what who's no longer with us. I won't give that away, but I just I loved hearing Jim James, who I'm a big My Morning Jacket fan, to see these people amongst many other musicians talk about them in the way that they do.
Obviously, by the time I interviewed Jim, I got really down the My Morning Jacket rabbit hole and was absolutely loved their music and was obsessed with them. And so what part of the process has been brilliant for me is that I've found new music myself that I wouldn't have really got into if I hadn't gone on this journey, you know, which is kind of beautiful and sort of sums it all up, really.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for the film, getting it back, the story of Samande, and so much more about the film, getting a lesson, a great music lesson, a lesson not only in their music, but the influence that you can have when you are so dedicated to something that you believe in and that you become so good at without knowing it. The influence you can have on others is another lesson from this film.
And keep believing in yourself. Keep believing in yourself. You know, when other people are telling you to give up, don't give up, because, you know, it might take a while, but for them, it took 40, 50 years, but they got there in the end.
Yeah. A website that I could direct people to for the film, or do I go to Abramarama? Do you have a website for this?
If you go to our social media, Samande Movie, at Samande Movie, Instagram, Twitter, and Samande's the official Samande official Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. That'll give you everyone all the updates they'll need for where they can find the film over the next few weeks when it'll be rolling out around the country.
Very good. I will definitely have that posted at filmschoolradio.com. We'll have all that there. Tim McKenzie Smith, thank you so very much for your work on Getting It Back, the story of Samande, and for spending some time with us here on Film School Radio.
No worries. Take care.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.